This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Well, tonight is the night. Talk has the power to save lives, and you can join 97.3 The Fan at 6 p.m. for I'm Listening, a two-hour show featuring some of the biggest names in music and sports. Insight from respected mental health professionals. Among the guests tonight, Katy Perry, members of Guns N' Roses, Jon Bon Jovi, and many more. You are not alone. Join us tonight 6 to 8 for I'm Listening, and for more information, you can visit imlistening.org. Just saw the one of the craziest Charger stories, and that's saying
that
something
crazy?
When it comes to, I think it's pretty crazy sounding.
No, you're right.
I will share it with you, and we have Eric Pincus from Bleacher Report to talk some Lakers basketball. We'll get to all of that right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Here's Kelly Danick. This hour, Ben and Woods, brought to you by Stater Brothers Markets. Join Stater Brothers Charities for the virtual Believe Walk on Sunday, October 4th to support cancer patients in our community. Register or donate at BelieveIE.com or text BELIEVE to 71777. Stater Brothers Charities virtual Believe Walk. Register today. All right, you're just going to have to wait a couple of minutes here on that Chargers story because I want to get to some Lakers talk because joining us on our SDCCU fan hotline, covering the L.A. Lakers for Bleacher Report, always a pleasure to welcome Eric Pincus back to Ben and Woods. Good morning, Eric.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, the Lakers finally ran into some trouble in the Western Conference Finals last night. I don't think you should be that stunned. Denver, while may not have been the team that people were talking about going into the postseason, certainly have had two of the best players in the postseason in Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic, and if they're playing well, as they did last night, they're going to give anyone trouble, right?
Yeah, they're a powerful offensive team. Their ability to score puts a tremendous amount of pressure on any team to put up some points. And the Lakers are one of the better defensive teams, if not the best defensive team in the playoffs. It's very impressive what the Lakers are able to do. But the Nuggets with Jokic are such a problem. I think they can handle Jamal Murray. He's an amazing scorer, but they handled Damian Lillard. They handled James Harden. I think the Lakers are sort of built to handle a guard who can score and shoot. But the problem is you've got this big man who can back down Anthony Davis and score over him in the post. There's not a lot of guys in the NBA who could do that. And Jokic is also basically their point guard in so many ways. They run their entire offense through him. He's one of the best big men, passing big men, that we've seen in a really long time. We could probably start to talk about him as one of the best all-time big men passers because they're so few and far between. So it's an interesting puzzle for the Lakers. They can't have bad offensive nights, and they can't lapse defensively because this team is just too good offensively.
Well, yeah, they had a bad offensive night last night. Just laying up some bricks, at least until the fourth quarter when they went on that run, cut the 20-point deficit down to just three. So knowing that, if you're Frank Vogel, do you try to change things up for game four, or do you just kind of stick with the game plan and say, hey, what are the odds that, we're going to have that bad of a shooting night again tonight? Let's just do what was working in games one and two and try it again.
Well, I think by and large, the Lakers haven't really messed with what they do offensively. Vogel is at heart a defensive coach. So game by game, they tinker with how they handle their coverages. They've been trying to go big against Jokic, but at times they've gone small. Yesterday they went small, and it was a disaster. In that second quarter, there was some minutes without Anthony Davis, where they had Markieff Morris at center. There was just some strange minutes early on that you can't go small against Jokic. So yeah, I think maybe a few more minutes for JaVale McGee, not much more. They got to keep Dwight Howard out of foul trouble. He doesn't play a lot of minutes, but he should be able to foul. In other words, you don't really want to stop him from getting four or five fouls. You just want to make sure that they're done in the right number of minutes, because they started him in the second half and he got a bunch of fouls quickly, and that diminished what he could do. So I think there are little minor tweaks into the rotation, to their coverages. But, I mean, Jeremy Grant, I think he had 26. That's an oddity. It's going to take someone else besides Jokic and Jamal Murray, and I think the Lakers' game plan is really centered on those two players to just make it as hard as possible for them. If you have someone else blown up for 26, that's a problem.
Eric Pincus, Bleacher Report, covering the Lakers, joining us here on a Wednesday morning. Lakers lead the Western Conference Finals 2-1 over the Denver Nuggets. And Eric, you'll never hear Vogel or LeBron or really any NBA player who knows how to handle the media say it, but behind closed doors, they've got to be like dancing for joy that the Clippers got taken care of for them, the Bucks got taken care of for them. I mean, this is a now wide open path, as smooth as it could possibly get to an NBA championship, correct?
I mean, from a point of view, you could argue that. The Miami Heat are similar to the Bucks, different, obviously, in their star power, but both teams are really good defensively, really good after you. I would argue that Miami is maybe one of the best defensive teams this year. I don't know what the analytics and the stats say, but they mix it up. They play some really odd zones, and Eric Spoelstra is one of the best coaches that we have in this league, and he has been for a couple of decades now, it seems. The Celtics, they can score. I mean, that they have a lot of options there. They're not necessarily the deepest team, but they're resilient. Obviously, historically, Lakers-Celtics are, that's the greatest rivalry in the NBA. Of course, I'm out of L.A., so I think that. I'm sure that Miami fans don't agree and couldn't care less about what Boston and L.A. means in the finals. So, but Denver's tough. I don't think the Lakers are sitting back thinking this is great. I personally think the Lakers, they beat the Clippers the last two times. And I think that they felt confident that they knew how to beat the Clippers. And I thought that Denver just took what LA was going to do as far as game plan. It obviously looks a little different because they have different personnel, but a lot of that was attack Lou Williams. They're counting on Paul George. I think there was some thought that he still needed to prove that he could deliver in big games. I don't think the Lakers were terribly worried about the Clippers. I do think that they knew it would be tough to get past any team, and that the Clippers, the Nuggets taking care of the Clippers certainly helped. But the Lakers have a lot on their hands right now. If this thing goes 2-2, you've got a very, very difficult series.
Well, I certainly get your point. I mean, there's no bad teams left. There's no bad teams that are reaching the NBA Finals. Someone is going to be playing very good and is dangerous to have to get to that point. I still think dodging Giannis Antetokounmpo in the finals, no one's going to be shedding a tear. Now, speaking of shedding a tear, LeBron seemed like he was crying over the results of the MVP voting last week. And I didn't totally get this, Eric. What did you think the purpose of that was? Does LeBron really think that he's not getting the respect that he deserves? I mean, he's a phenomenal basketball player, but so is Giannis. To me, it wasn't a big insult that voters, chose the Greek freak over LeBron this year?
If you watch the Jordan documentary, The Last Dance on ESPN, it was kind of Jordan always had to find some extra motivation, some reason to come and feel slighted. And I don't necessarily think LeBron is identical to Jordan in that way, but it felt a little similar where, you know, when they announced that and the Lakers had a game against anybody, it happened to be the Nuggets, that was the game they blew the Nuggets out. I was like, oh, man. I mean, I don't gamble, but, you know, if you want to take the Lakers in any number of points, you know, go ahead and take it today because, you know, LeBron's going to kill them. And I think it was just a little bit of that. I thought Giannis is fine as MVP. I thought LeBron was also deserving and would have been fine had the votes gone to LeBron. If the votes had gone to Giannis, I'd be fine. I think LeBron sort of complained about the number of votes. He didn't get anywhere close to the number of first place votes that he thought. I don't know. To me, it was like I said, I think he was just looking for some level of motivation, a little bit of extra push to go take it out on the Nuggets.
Eric, ultimately, how do you see the rest of this series play out? Do the Lakers take care of business and win in five like they did in the first two rounds? Or do you think the Nuggets are going to come back and push this series maybe even to seven?
Well, I have it. My original pick was Lakers in six. I don't think we'll see an exact beat of history. I could see the Lakers getting the next game and going up 3-1 and Denver getting 3-2. So that we have that question, you know, is it happening again? Are they coming back? And you get to that pivotal game six where the Lakers answer the question, no, that the magic of whatever the Nuggets were on, it has run out. That's how I see it going. That's kind of roughly how I saw it going beforehand. I don't know if, you know, I like to think I'm right. You know, I've been doing this a while, and a lot of my predictions, I had the Heat beating the Bucks, but I also had the Raptors beating the Celtics. So I'm usually right, but I'm not always right. So we'll have to wait and see.
Eric, I just want to ask you about Anthony Davis. He's pretty much leading the Lakers in every category. Do you think that's been designed, that he's kind of been option A and LeBron taking a little bit of a backseat, so to say? Or do you expect LeBron to kind of take over and, you know, thrive under the spotlight as we've seen over the last, what 10 straight finals appearances that he had in that run?
Well, it's kind of a function of a few things, like how is the defense setting up? If the defense is going to be soft on LeBron, he's going to attack you. But they're doing a really good job of just trying to load up to not give LeBron an area to drive into. And from the very start of the season, LeBron has gone to AD as the primary option. LeBron has always been closer to Magic Johnson than Michael Jordan as far as a superstar. Always been a passer, a guy who sets up his teammates, and is, I don't want to say he's a reluctant scorer, but that's not his first concept is let's get the best shot that we can get. So he'll drive and kick a lot. And AD is his first deep run into the playoffs. He's been hit or miss at stretches, but mostly very, very, very powerful and very, very good. Yesterday, two rebounds isn't enough. That's not going to do it. But he's been carrying them in a lot of ways offensively and, of course, defensively. And LeBron loves it. And these guys are united in that. There's no ego about it. So LeBron, I think there'll be stretches where he has to be that dominant scorer. But he's happy as long as the Lakers are winning. And if it's going through AD, then that's perfectly fine.
Paul, if LeBron is taking a back seat, it's only because he's riding in a limo. That's the only reason he's in the back seat. Eric, appreciate it. Good chatting with you as always. Thanks for your time.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Eric Pincus on our SDCCU fan hotline. SDCCU online and mobile banking lets you do your banking from your smartphone. Message and data rates may apply. For details, visit SDCCU.com. And don't forget, the Fresh with the Fab Five fundraiser is on. Fresh Start Surgical Gifts is the beneficiary. They provide surgeries to children with deformities. The need now is more than ever. You can donate at our website, 973thefansd.com. We're having a competition with our other hosts down the hall at Entercom. And for the first 100 donations of $25 or more, Fresh Start going to send you a cool Fresh Start designer mask. It's Fresh Start and the Fab Five. Go to 973thefansd.com. All right, here is that Chargers tweet, which explains why Tyrod Taylor was benched and Justin Herbert was the quarterback last week. From Adam Schefter: the Chargers team doctor accidentally punctured his own quarterback Tyrod Taylor's lung just before kickoff Sunday while trying to administer a pain-killing injection to the quarterback's cracked ribs, league and team sources told ESPN. Their own doctor punctured the quarterback's lung. It does kind of explain why Anthony Lynn's like, Tyrod's still our quarterback. It would really be sucky to lose your starting job because the team doctor jammed a needle into your lung too far. And that's how you ended up getting Wally pipped by the first round draft pick.
I mean,
holy cow.
I mean, no
joking. I mean, I'm glad Tyrod Taylor's okay. I mean, he had to be like hospitalized.
Yeah.
It's a crazy story. We'll probably hear more about this as the day goes on. Polly, good job. Hopefully Woods feels better. Everybody have a great Wednesday. Padres baseball 110 today here on 97.3 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.